In a stunning rebuke from the Chief Justice, Chief Justice John Roberts slams Senator Schumer for his threat on two U.S. Supreme Court justices. We'll talk about the ramifications of that today on Jay Sekulow Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind, and you will pay the price. You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Chief Justice John Roberts issuing a rare rebuke, and I quote, "Justices know that criticism comes with the territory, but threatening statements of this sort from the highest level of government are not only inappropriate, they are dangerous. All members of the court will continue to do their job without fear or favor from whatever quarter."
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Let me put this into context for you. Yesterday on the steps of the U.S. Supreme Court after that important pro-life case involving the admitting privileges issue out of Louisiana, should an abortionist have to have admitting privileges at a nearby hospital in case the abortion goes wrong and the woman who's having the abortion's life's at risk and needs to be admitted into a hospital? Seems like common sense, but of course this is something the Supreme Court has to decide. And let me tell you, on all these issues, because of abortion distortion, it's always an uphill battle. But they did decide to take the case. So then Senator Schumer joins the protesters, which are always there for these abortion cases on both sides, pro-life protesters, pro-abortion protesters. He joined the Planned Parenthood, NARAL, pro-abortion protesters. So there's the context for you. It's after the case. And people heard from the case that Gorsuch said nothing, by the way, but that Kavanaugh had some tough questions for the pro-abortion Planned Parenthood side, yep, about why, if everybody could get the admitting privilege, would this be a burden under even Roe?
Right.
So with that, Senator Schumer shows up at the rally. Remember, he is the top-ranking Democrat in the United States Senate, and he said this. Take a listen, bite one.
"I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind, and you will pay the price. You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions."
So he received strong rebukes from across partisan lines, but the strongest came from the Chief Justice. And it's not often, it does happen, but it's not often that the Chief Justice issues like a press statement, which is
right,
what he did.
Very rare.
Statement from Chief Justice John G. Roberts Jr. It came out yesterday after this statement. Very quickly, by the way. "This morning, Senator Schumer spoke at a rally in front of the Supreme Court while a case was being heard inside. Senator Schumer referred to two members of the court by name and said he wanted to tell them that, quote, you have released the whirlwind and you will pay the price. You will not know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions. Justices know that criticism comes with the territory, but threatening statements of this sort from the highest levels of government are not only inappropriate, they are dangerous." From the Chief Justice, using the word dangerous. Yep. "All members of the court will continue to do their job without fear or favor from whatever quarter." And now we've got Lawrence Tribe coming out. We'll go through some of the statements as well. But Senator Schumer has refused to apologize, has used this phony excuse that he was talking about politics. Gorsuch and Kavanaugh and say what they would face if you're talking about Republican, the impact on Republicans?
You have to put this into a really direct context, and the direct context here is clear. The argument on the case was going on while Senator Schumer, who you're supposed to call, as we learned when we did the impeachment trial, the Democratic leader of the Senate. He made the statements while the arguments are being made, and that was bad enough. Then, to compound it, he names two justices, Gorsuch and Kavanaugh. Then it's a whirlwind will be unleashed against you, and you will pay a price if you go forward with these awful decisions. So if you decide this case the way we don't think you should,
there'll be retribution for you.
You're going to pay for this.
Right. He didn't say there'd be retribution for Republicans at the voting booth.
No.
1-800-684-3110. What do you think about all this?
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
For you one more time. I just want you to understand why the Chief Justice of the United States felt that he needed to issue a statement saying that the Supreme Court will not stand for these threats against specific justices or justices at all. But this time, two specific justices, both Trump choices, Gorsuch and Kavanaugh, and it was a threat based off if they decide a certain way in a case that they will face serious consequences. They will pay the price. He didn't say Republicans will pay the price of the ballot box. He said they will face a whirlwind and they will pay a price. Take a listen just so you understand the context of everything you're going to hear today.
I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind and you will pay the price. You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions.
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, let me, as someone that's been practicing before the Supreme Court for 40 years, and that and when I appear at the end of this month on behalf of the president, it will be my fourth decade of practice before the Supreme Court of the United States. But the idea that I've had strong disagreements with justices on the Supreme Court, but that, you know, you handle that in briefs and oral argument. You don't make it personal. Here's what he did. You heard it. He made a political statement during the actual argument. And then he made it in the form of a threat. And that threat, and I want people to understand what that threat really gets to. That threat gets to, if you decide a case a particular way, if that's the decision you make, you're going to pay a price for this. A whirlwind will be unleashed against you if you go forward with these awful decisions. And there hasn't even been a decision made yet. Now, there's been some pretty strong reaction, Than, from the Senate on this so far. And there's also, I need to say this. I mean, we'll play Jeff Toobins in a moment for it. And Jeff is a CNN commentator. I get along well with Jeff, but he's left to center guy. Lawrence Tribe, I'm going to read his. No friend of mine. These remarks by President Trump, by Senator Schumer, or Gorsuch, or
Kavanaugh
were inexcusable. Chief Justice Roberts was right to call him on his comments. I hope that the senator, whom I've long admired and considered a friend, apologizes and takes back his implicit threat. It's beneath him and his office.
And Schumer refused. He had the chance. Mitch McConnell used very tough language, but I'll go right to Schumer. Here was his, quote, his way of trying to apologize without actually apologizing. And this has not been accepted by Republicans, an apology. They are looking at the option of a censure, Senator Hawley. And by the way, if there's no apology, what we're hearing is that Senator Majority Leader McConnell is likely to support that censure of Chuck Schumer. Take a listen, Byte 34.
I should not have used the words I used yesterday.
They didn't come out the way I intended to. My point was that there would be political consequences for President Trump and Senate Republicans if the Supreme Court, with the newly confirmed justices, stripped away a woman's right to choose. Of course, I didn't intend to suggest anything other than political and public opinion consequences for the Supreme Court, and it is a gross distortion to imply otherwise.
You know, that's nonsense.
What word did you not hear there, Dad?
Yeah. Well, apology. Yeah. But also, he's denying the context. Well, he's the one who said the context, so denying it is absurd. But let me be clear here. What he did was completely inappropriate. And this is, again, coming from someone who's argued before the Supreme Court for a long time. And I'll have fundamental disagreements with justices, I'm sure, when I'm up there in a couple of weeks. Yeah. But this idea that what you have here, that he thinks he can take out a retribution and aim it at the Supreme Court of the United States is really outrageous. And his attempt at shifting the blame here to a political thing is ridiculous.
Yes, because in the same speech, he did make the political argument. And I think this is an argument that it may sound like tough rhetoric, but it would make, that's what it sounded like he was talking about, like trying to make that into. This, when you're talking about politics and being tough about Republican versus Democrat, Chuck Schumer sounds like this, Bite 17.
We will tell President Trump and Senate Republicans who have stacked the court with right-wing ideologues that you're going to be gone in November and you will never be able to do what you're trying to do now, ever, ever again. You hear that over there on the far right? You're gone in November.
Yeah, and that's politics.
That's political rhetoric at a speech.
And that's what he's trying to turn
but
this
that
same.
That is not what he said about the, he named two justices of the Supreme Court and said a whirlwind was being unleashed.
No, listen to it again. Compare the two. You just heard the political. Now listen again. This is what he said about the Supreme Court justices, and he's not apologizing for it. He's saying it was just political talk. We played you his political talk from the same rally. This was not mixed in there. Take a listen. This is what he directly said about Gorsuch.
Nothing to
and
do with
Kavanaugh.
Politics here.
Nothing. You won't hear the word Republican, conservative, or anything, or election. Take a listen. Bite one.
I want to tell you, Gorsuch. I want to tell you, Kavanaugh. You have released the whirlwind, and you will pay the price. You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions.
So here's what I'm doing if I'm Chuck Schumer. I'm going to threaten you, Justice Gorsuch, by the way, is how it's pronounced.
Yeah.
And Justice Kavanaugh. If you come out with these decisions the wrong way, these awful decisions, if you come out the wrong way, you're going to personally pay a price. You're going to, what was the exact
word?
He said, awful decisions, you won't know what hit you. Now, the president said that what Chuck Schumer said was wrong and that he should pay a severe price for this, which he may in the form of a censure.
Right. Let's put that up on the screen for folks on a Facebook and Periscope. This is President Trump's tweet. There can be few things worse in a civilized, law-abiding nation than the United States senator, and this is, again, the Democrat leader, openly and for all to see and hear, threatening the Supreme Court or its justices. This is what Chuck Schumer just did. He must pay a severe price for this. And, Dad, I think it's kind of – there's a little bit of humor here. The humor here is that the outrage on the left when President Trump suggested that potentially two Supreme Court justices should recuse themselves because of statements they made about him personally – Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who said she would leave the country if he got elected, and Justice Sotomayor, in a recent opinion, attacking the Trump administration.
Correct, but here's the thing.
And that is not a threat.
No, but saying somebody should be recused, which is someone has the right to say, of course, the way it works at the Supreme Court is there is no rule on recusal. They decide it themselves if they think they should be recused. So it's not likely that anybody's going to be recused in these cases, but that's markedly different than saying that you've unreleased a world when you will pay the price. You know, you will not know what hits you if you go forward with these awful decisions. Now, let's play with
Jeffrey Toobin.
Jeff Toobin from CNN, because he's, you know, listen.
Doesn't agree with the president.
Nope.
But certainly here, thinks what Chuck Schumer did is horrendous. Bite 13.
If you want to start parsing what everyone said, the president did not say about Ginsburg and Sotomayor that they are going to reap the whirlwind, that they're, you know, in physical danger. He said they should recuse themselves. It was a ridiculous argument, but it was a political argument. It wasn't a personal attack.
And actually, you don't really have to parse what Chuck Schumer said. You just have to listen to it. I mean, he said, you will pay the price. you won't know what hit you. And he said this specifically to Justice Gorsuch and Justice Kavanaugh.
So that's, you know, that's coming from CNN. So, Than, what's the reaction in Washington? And we've got some of the statements that are coming up, but what's kind of the vibe on the Hill right now on this?
Well, nobody's buying Senator Schumer, Leader Schumer's explanation. In fact, when the majority leader, Mitch McConnell, went to the floor of the Senate, he gave him a specific opportunity to take the words back. And after he read that quote that you've played, Leader McConnell said, "There is nothing to call this except a threat, and there is absolutely no question to whom it was directed." And Jay, the other point that I would make is place and time matter too. I mean, Leader Schumer went to the steps of the Supreme Court to say that, and then he tried to say it was an attack on senators. Jay, let me tell you this. If Leader Schumer went to the well of the Senate and used those same words to attack senators from the well of the Senate, I can guarantee you what the U.S. Senate would do. They would censure him. So I think they're going to do that unless he backs down from this, and it sure doesn't look like he's backing down from it.
I want to play for just some of Senator Mitch McConnell. Let's start off with his opening on the floor of the Senate, Bite 20.
"By now, many already know what the Democratic leader shouted outside the Supreme Court yesterday morning. I'm sorry to have to read it into the record. First, he prompted a crowd of left-wing activists to boo two of the associate justices, as though Supreme Court justices were professional athletes, and Senator Schumer were jeering from the stands."
This is the problem, because what Chuck Schumer did was personalize an attack against two sitting Supreme Court justices who are arguing or hearing arguments in a case right at that very moment involving a very significant constitutional legal issue on this one, on involving abortion. And he basically says, not basically, he says, if you decide these the wrong way, you go forward with these awful decisions, you're going to reap a whirlwind and you're not going to know what hit you. So he could, you know, Schumer should have just said, you know what, I was out of control, or I apologize, but he won't do it. He just is not, it's not going to happen. It's not in his DNA to do that.
There's more great sound, and I think great reminders from Mitch McConnell. We will play for you as we come back from the break. We are taking your phone calls on this too. 1-800-684-3110. You see how this issue of life, I mean, to fire up people is to say, it's not even to describe the truth about how the passions that start raging because they worship at the altar of abortion. Remember that. This is Chuck Schumer and the Democrats. This is their, like, religion is Planned Parenthood and NARAL and the pro-choice movement. You need to support the work of the ACLJ. March is a matching challenge month. You can double the impact of your donation for all the pro-life work that we're engaged in right now. Go to ACLJ.org, donate online, double the impact of your donation. That's ACLJ.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
We're going to get right back to this issue involving Senator Schumer, because you're starting to hear from more U.S. senators. There's more great sound from what Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell had to say. In fact, comparing, saying, you know, remember, we had a mass shooting of Republican members of Congress. So to say, Schumer, that you were actually directing this towards senators
isn't so nice either.
Isn't really like, isn't right. An apology either. I mean, that kind of language of threat. So we will get to that in a second. The ICC did issue its decision today, yep. Kind of punting on the jurisdiction issue when it comes to investigating Americans and prosecuting American soldiers and from Afghanistan and CIA agents. So, Dad, this was, again, yeah, they so didn't go the full...
It was anticipated. We got what we anticipated, which was the International Criminal Court issued an order saying that the prosecutor can move forward with her case, which means she can start a preliminary investigation or an investigation, which includes American soldiers.
Yep.
Now, the United States isn't going to cooperate. The United States is not a party.
Afghanistan probably not going.
Afghanistan can file what's called a Rule 18. I think it's Rule 18 to say we've got our own process going on here.
They could quash this whole thing.
Especially now that there's a peace negotiations with the Taliban. Yep. And the United States is not going to make itself available and may, in fact, take adverse action towards the ICC.
As they already have.
But, again, you go there and you do this because you've got to be on record, and yep. That's exactly what we did. We're doing another one for Israel right now.
Well, they actually said in the opinion that if it gets to the next level which
then
would
you
be,
can raise it.
Which would be if she wanted to try to bring charges, then we could raise the issues.
Correct.
That we raised.
That's right.
So I mean, we're on record.
Yeah, we're on record, which was the point of the whole thing.
No one's going to be arrested right now.
No, they haven't. I mean, I don't even know how they're going to actually do this. So
they won't be able to.
But again, you know, we went there to make a point. We made our point. We've got another one we're doing right now. We're filing in the middle of the month on Israel's behalf, and we're going to make a point there, too. That's a jurisdictional one as well, as far as the territorial mandate of
And as much as we disagree with these decisions, it continues to undermine the ICC.
Well, I think their credibility. I think this
was already hanging by a thread.
Yeah, but I mean,
their chief judge had to recuse himself from this case.
Yes, it's like the cast of the Parade of Horribles here.
Yeah,
but look, you went there. We did what we were supposed to do.
We do it at the UN every day.
Huh?
We do it at the UN every day.
You fight it out at the UN. Than knows this. Than you fight it out at the UN every day. It's just the nature of what it is.
Yeah, honestly, Jay, and I also think it gives you an opportunity to lay the foundation for the work that's ahead. I mean, I think you narrow the ruling and you lay the foundation for making those arguments when they go to the merits. So, look, I don't view this as a setback. I view it as another opportunity for us to make that case where it wouldn't otherwise be made.
Well, we're there now.
I tell you where we did make our point. We were there. We were respectful. I think we were well-received.
Yep.
They disagreed with our legal interpretation. We disagree with theirs. We're not calling for retribution as far as other than the United States is not going to cooperate with this because we're not a state party.
But there already has been some. The ICC prosecutors banned from getting a visa
to
the
U.S. Well, that's not retribution. That's called legal justification.
Yeah.
We won't let you. You're not going to let you to come here to prosecute U.S. soldiers here in the United States.
But the U.S. government, pre-Trump, has a longstanding policy, has told the ICC, you try to take action against us.
Correct.
And there will be...
Exactly.
A response, if you will. You may not call it retribution. A response from the United States. Let's go back to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Roger calling in from Minnesota online once. Good question. Roger, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Roger.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'm having a very bad connection here. I can barely hear you. Maybe if you can hear me.
We got you, so ask your question.
Okay. What happens during a censorship is what could happen to Schumer, and is there anything more serious like an impeachment? Because what he said is really
there's not an impeachment proceeding in that sense, and they're not going to remove him over this. But we should walk him through.
Yeah,
what
I mean, Than, this is interesting because you noted in our chat only 9 senators in the history of the country have been censured, and the most recent was 1990. The most notorious is Joseph McCarthy. The censure itself doesn't remove Chuck Schumer, but it is a serious stain on his career because, again, he would be just the 10th.
Absolutely, Jordan. I mean, the Senate could move to expel him. They're not going to do that in this case, but if they move to censure him, it would be very serious. You're right. 9 senators have been censured. Joseph McCarthy was the most famous. The most recent was David Durenberger in 1990. I'll tell you this, though, Jordan. I looked through these cases this morning. The actions of Leader Schumer, they rise to the level of some of these censures. I mean, if he were to be censured, it would fit right in with quite a number. I mean, like, you know, false reporting or maybe inaccurate reporting of some campaign funds to the tune of $43,000. I mean, that was one of the things that they were censured over. An attack on a co-equal branch on the steps of their chamber. Jordan, I think it would be fully in line, and I think that option's on the table.
Inciting violence against them. I mean, that's the key. That's right. What we're worried about, is that this is an incitement to violence.
It's so inappropriate.
Mr. McConnell was saying.
You know, by the way, and Chuck Schumer's a lawyer, which means he's an officer of the court. And as an officer of the court, you're not supposed to hold the court in disrepute, and you're not supposed to do things like this. You could disagree with the court, but you do it in a professional way. This is not a professional way. What he did here was make threatening comments, as the Chief Justice pointed out, and he did so in a way which could cause not only harm, but he was trying to, like, almost as if he was trying to put pressure on these judges, justices. Now, they're not going to fall for this.
No,
they're gonna
of course
decide
not.
The case the way they think the case should be tried, decided.
But two justices that he voted against.
Of course. But, you know, well, look, these are also people. A lot of these senators opposed John Roberts, too, and they were trying to make him their best friend at the impeachment article hearings until they tried to bring him into the proceedings.
Right, and Elizabeth Warren attacked him. So, I mean, John Roberts has been in the news a lot recently, much more than you usually see.
Not Elizabeth Warren, too, by the way.
Yeah, Elizabeth Warren did drop. Like we said yesterday, we expected her to drop out yesterday. She's dropping out today. The question will be is if she endorses, and if she endorses Bernie or Biden. I think she's kind of could go either way on this.
Do you think she says, I was thinking about this, I was going to ask you and Than this, do you think there's a possibility she says, I'm not going to make a formal endorsement, I trust my supporters to make that decision?
Possibly. Because she might be just too encouraged by her radical supporters to go Bernie, and by her bigger supporters, she had a fundraising juggernaut, I'm not going to take that away from her. She did. She's probably still will. You know, going with Biden could really upset some of her base.
Yeah.
And though you have to question now her. Remember, in Massachusetts, you have a Kennedy who was a congressman, a younger Kennedy, taking on Ed Markey, and he's winning right now in the polls. So they're looking to take out these other senators. Some of the older Massachusetts families, let's say, from the Democrat Party. Elizabeth Warren looked pretty vulnerable in that primary.
Yeah.
She came in third place in her home state. The attacks on her. And the exposure you get when you run for president is a lot more than running for Senate. She's been fully exposed as a liar, as someone who made up her appellate, you know, her Harvard info.
Yep.
She was a supply side economics, you know, conservative from Oklahoma, who then suddenly became an American Indian when she applied to Harvard to get a job, and became an extreme liberal.
So let me ask this to Than. I mean, what your sense of what she does on this? I mean, we may know in minutes. So. Of this endorsement, and now Bernie Sanders is saying he agrees whoever has the most, even if it's a plurality, the most delegates going into the convention should be the nominee.
It's funny how people's opinions change, right? Look, I think she's still really angry with Senator Sanders, and she really hurt him by staying in through Super Tuesday. I mean, Minnesota, Massachusetts, Texas, Maine, those could look very different. Jay, but there's a tie here. You remember the Chief Justice Roberts? He stayed silent when Senator Warren attacked him and the court during the impeachment proceedings. I think it's just a sign of how serious he views this attack.
All right. Can I ask everybody to do us a favor? We're in our matching challenge. We're closing up on the first week here, and we really could use your support. We're not quite even with last year yet. We need to really pull ahead by about 10%.
That's right. And it's a great time to do it. We have a matching challenge month. Whatever you donate is doubled. So if you make a $20 donation online at aclj.org right now, that's effectively $40 for the ACLJ. It'll be matched by a group of donors ready to do that for the entire month of March. A $50 donation, that's effectively $100, but you're only going to be charged $50. So again, this is the time. If you support the work of the ACLJ, if you enjoy this broadcast, if this is something you enjoy, you need to support the work of the ACLJ because it's part of it. Go to aclj.org, donate today, be part of the matching challenge. We'll be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind, and you will pay the price. You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Shame on Chuck Schumer. He should be censured. He should be number 10. I mean, it's about enough. And I think Mitch McConnell, I'm going to walk you through this. Listen to Byte 21, because Mitch McConnell is a measured person, a measured member of Congress, the majority leader of the United States Senate. Check out Byte 21. Take a listen.
Madam President, I'm not sure where to start. There is nothing to call this except a threat. And there's absolutely no question to whom it was directed. Contrary to what the Democratic leader has since tried to claim, he very, very clearly was not addressing Republican lawmakers or anyone else.
Yeah, the price to pay was for Kavanaugh and Gorsuch. He mispronounced that name in his moment of rage. But I think, you know, Mitch McConnell goes on because he says, don't buy this false, which, by the way, he never used the word apology. He says he shouldn't have used the words he used, Chuck Schumer. That's not enough. That's not apologizing. That's saying, in fact, his spokesperson's first statement was, this is just Republicans, and now they've convinced John Roberts to accept their spin on this. He was just talking politics. Well, take a listen. Byte 22 from McConnell. Who was it directed at?
He literally directed the statement to the justices by name. And he said, quote, if you go forward with these awful decisions, which could only apply to the court itself, the minority leader of the United States Senate threatened two associate justices of the U.S. Supreme Court, period. There's no other way to interpret that.
Think about that. Now, and I think I'll play this bite, and then we'll start, again, I'll get to Than Bennett. We'll start taking more of your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Because he said, think about it as a normal American, and you hear words like this. You know, put yourself in the shoes of just everyday person, and you hear words like that shouted at you. Take a listen. So think Mitch McConnell, this is where it makes a lot of sense. It kind of resonates with everybody. It's why you've got from everybody from Lawrence Tribe to Jeff Toobin, Democrats, Republicans, all saying, Chuck Schumer, at least apologize, man. Like, at least apologize. Don't try to play politics with this. Apologize. Those kind of words shouldn't be used against Republican senators either, by the way. But you can use tough rhetoric in politics. But take a listen, because this puts it into more of a personal context for every American, by 23.
The Democratic leader traveled to the workplace of the two judges and in front of a crowd of activists. He told those judges, you will pay the price right in front of the Supreme Court building. And you won't know what hit you, he said, right in front of the Supreme Court building. If any American had these words shouted at them from a sidewalk outside their office, they would hear those threats as personal. And most likely they would hear them as threatening or inciting violence.
And I think that's absolutely right, Than, is that everybody who heard this, if you heard this being shouted outside the ACLJ office in D.C., or I heard it outside the office here, and someone starts shouting that, and we're involved in this kind of world, that certainly sounds to me like more than just, we're going to beat you in 2020, and goodbye, Donald Trump, goodbye, Republicans and right wing, because we're going to take over. Okay, that's one thing. That what Chuck Schumer says, you won't know what hit you, you're going to pay a price, that would sound very different to everybody hearing it outside their workplace. And that, you know, Supreme Court justice outside their workplace happens to be outside the U.S. Supreme Court.
Yeah, I mean, if someone's out front screaming, you've released the whirlwind, you will not know what hit you, Jordan, I'm calling the police to have them arrested. I really am.
Yeah.
But look, and I think if there's a knock on Leader McConnell from some people, it's that maybe he doesn't react. Jordan, he reacted forcefully in this situation.
Yeah, I think he's about to
have
enough
question
of this.
He agrees.
I think he's just through the impeachment and a lot of this just partisan attacks. And he goes on to say, there's another reason, too, here. Because then Schumer said, well, I was really talking about senators, Republican senators. And of course, Mitch McConnell brought up, yeah, you mean after that leftist started shooting at them when they were getting ready for the congressional baseball game? Forgets that kind of rhetoric. Yet they blame Donald Trump for rhetoric. I mean, this is when they are unhinged, folks. It's TDS, Trump derangement syndrome at another level. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Show. We'll get back into some of the politics that's been happening too. Of course, Elizabeth Warren is dropping out today. What will be interesting is whether or not she endorses a candidate right away. We should know that relatively soon, unless she tries to hold that until some other time where she thinks it may be more effective, or after more pressure, or she gets what she wants out of the endorsement. But she is dropping out. So it is now effectively Biden versus Sanders, and Tulsi Gabbard is still in the race, but you won't see her because they're going to rewrite the debate rules that, you know, if you have one delegate, you're not going to be on the debate stage. Again, this becomes a two-person race, which is, again, we're going to get into tomorrow, because there's news out that, you know, if Michigan goes the way it's looking right now, Biden could, quote, finish, is the headline in Drudge, finish Bernie Sanders in Michigan by making it statistically impossible for him to even go into the convention with a majority of delegates. So what a change. What a change in a few days and then a week, that you're at a point where literally by next week, Joe Biden could make sure that he at least has significantly more delegates going into the convention. And even Bernie Sanders starting to say, you know, who has the most delegates, who has the plurality, should get the nomination, because that used to benefit him. I used to think where he was going is that he would probably get the most delegates, but maybe not the 1,900 plus that you needed to get the nomination. And now it's looking like that strategy and that idea, which I think is right anyways, if you have the majority, you probably should, from these super delegates or Republicans, that's how we would work things out. This is looking like a situation that's going to could benefit Joe Biden. So you could literally, so we'll get into that more tomorrow on the broadcast and into politics, see what Elizabeth Warren does. But I want to get play more from Mitch McConnell, because I think this, I just want you to hear it. Because every time they tell you that President Trump uses rhetoric that's too strong or too tough, and he's tough, but threatening people the way he's, you know, that Chuck Schumer did, threatening two Supreme Court justices during a case being argued on the steps of the Supreme Court, he forgets history, too. He forgets history. Take a listen to Mitch McConnell, by 26.
Less than 3 years ago, of course, an unhinged and unstable left-wing activist attempted a mass murder of congressional Republicans at a baseball field right across the river. A Senate leader appearing to threaten or incite violence on the steps of the Supreme Court could literally be a matter of deadly seriousness.
Deadly seriousness. I'll tell you, though, you don't see these Supreme Court justices on camera. You get like the sketches. They do have security protection, but they are much more visible if you know who they are, especially to where like our ACLJ offices stand. I'm sure you see them often. Maybe with the security issues now these days, maybe a little bit less so by themselves, but sometimes even by themselves walking down the street.
Yeah, I mean, well, you could hear him yesterday over at the Supreme Court, Jordan. I mean, they were there in force, and they certainly were hostile there. But I would tell you, you referenced Steve Scalise, you know, certainly someone who would know what the impact of this violence was. Here's what he tweeted today. He said, Schumer threatened conservative justices Kavanaugh and Gorsuch on the steps of the Supreme Court. Then he quoted the quote. He said, enough. This rhetoric has dangerous consequences. Where's the media outrage? To those two points, Jordan, he would know what those dangerous consequences are. And the second point, where's the media outrage? Can you imagine, Jordan, if this was Leader McConnell? I mean, can you even imagine how this would dominate the coverage? It'd be overwhelming.
You know, totally overwhelming. By the way, we're monitoring Elizabeth Warren. She's announced her statement that she is dropping out of the race. Does not look like she has endorsed anyone yet, right? I mean, so we're going to monitor that. That may come at a different time. It may come through a statement. This is a pretty low-key kind of way to leave the race, too. It's not at a rally. It's not at an event. I mean, there's a lot of press there, but it's outside her home. I think trying to make herself look more like the Massachusetts senator again. They just asked her who she's going to endorse. She said, quote, let's take a little time on that. So as we talked about, I'll go around the room and then we'll get back to the Supreme Court issue. Elizabeth Warren has been, again, she got into some war with Bernie Sanders. She also really hurt Bernie Sanders to some extent. She wasn't like she was doing incredible in any of these states, but to some extent on Super Tuesday. And so stayed in the race and may have been one of the elements of what happened on Super Tuesday. Not the major, but certainly one of them.
Yeah, and her ego obviously was at work in that because, you know, she had not won a state. It was not likely she was going to win a state on Super Tuesday. And so rather than withdraw for the good of the party and for the good of Bernie Sanders, she stayed in and she's coming out, you know, leaving the campaign about 2 days too late. But there is bad blood, I think, between her campaign and the Sanders campaign. So in some ways, it's not a surprise. Her policies are almost identical to Bernie Sanders. It's just that he openly says, yes, I'm a socialist. And she tries to say, no, I'm not. But in fact, her policies are.
Yeah, let me, again, let me go to the phones. Jonah in New York on Line 5. Jonah, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Thank you for having me. It's interesting. In January of 2017,
yep.
Schumer threatened Trump in a sense when he said that if Trump is messing with the intelligence agencies, that they have 6 ways from Sunday to go after him. They really implied back then that there's this deep state, that there's
yep.
these backdoor ways to go after people. And if anybody would be familiar with all the intricate backdoors of government and how the left and the deep state and the Washington elite and establishment go after people, we've seen this too often, it would be Schumer. So there's no question he was threatening the justices. There's no question that they're apolitical. There's no question that it was inappropriate to do it on the steps. But I think there's more to it than a censure. There's more to it than whether it was appropriate or inappropriate. I think it implies that Schumer knows the way government works to go after people.
Yeah.
And we've seen all too much of that the last 3 years.
Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110.
She was met at senators or it was politics. You know what he's been doing. He's been talking about it the whole time here. I think there's an implication here that's worthy of some questions.
Yeah, well, I understand that. And listen, I think if censure, then would that open the door to that? Would a formal censure open the door to more questions, kind of like, maybe a legal investigation, though certainly, like, if you said this about the President of the United States, you'd be getting a call from the Secret Service.
Yeah, I mean, they don't need a censure, Jordan, to open an investigation. They could do it without it, but I think it would certainly add justification to it. It would take a separate vote to expel him. But here's what I would say, Jordan. There is no question, I mean, no question in my mind that Leader Schumer was trying to intimidate the justices. And quite frankly, I think that's why the Chief Justice responded. Jordan, the Chief Justice does not do this. I mean, he didn't do it when attacked previously. He did it because he knew as well what Leader Schumer was trying to do. So in some ways, I agree with the caller. Maybe there is more action that is needed because there's no question he was trying to intimidate. But I don't think he thought the Chief Justice would call him out. I think he believed
Chief
he'd sit
Justice
back
rarely,
and not respond.
Rarely responds. I mean, but I think after the attack by Elizabeth Warren, who's now dropped out of the race, but during the impeachment trial and calling into question the legitimacy of the court, all of that, trying to force Chief Justice Roberts to become the trier of fact and go through evidence at the impeachment trial, all of that, I think, you know, on top of this threat, it just was too much. And he issued a statement pretty much right away for the Supreme Court very fast and not usual. This is something pretty unusual, yet he's had to do it more frequently in these last few days. You know, and it's interesting because, Harry, the caller actually said exactly what Jim Jordan tweeted. Congressman Jordan tweeted, "Today's left, first Schumer tells President-elect Trump, quote, you take on the intelligence community, they have six ways from Sunday of getting back at you." Now, interesting to note, Jim Comey from the intelligence community tried to endorse Joe Biden and the Biden campaign rejected it. Then they tried to kind of like soften that and say they were joking around about it. But again, their immediate response was, we don't want your endorsement. But I don't see those kind of threats from Chuck Schumer to Joe Biden. But then, so you add that to today, you know, yesterday, threatening two Supreme Court justices and telling them you'll pay the price and you won't know what hit you. Well, I know what hit the president. He fired Jim Comey just like Hillary Clinton would have, just like Joe Biden sounds like he would have if he could have. The FBI then opens up Crossfire Hurricane. There's a Mueller report because of leaked Jim Comey memos with the president. Then there's leaks out of the National Security Council that start this whole Ukraine issue, which led to an impeachment trial where, yes, ultimately the president was acquitted. But you're talking about years of his the entire first term. Up until now, he's faced some kind of serious congressional investigation, which is exactly what Chuck Schumer threatened.
Absolutely. So the resistance is alive and well, unfortunately, within the Democratic Party. And Democrats, generally, they counsel tolerance, but they specialize in bullying and threatening. So in addition to threatening the president of the United States, which Schumer has done, now Schumer is threatening U.S. Supreme Court justices very brazenly. And I think the American people need to respond.
You know what, folks? We continue to take your calls on this. Stay on the line if you have a call, a question for us. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And let me encourage you, support the work of the ACLJ. We're a little bit behind already this month of March, so we need your support financially. You donate online, double the impact of your donation. Matching challenge, ACLJ.org, if you support the work we do and this broadcast.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Jay Sekio Live. We are taking your phone calls. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let's put some more of these tweets up on the screen for Facebook and Periscope. Senator Susan Collins, okay? So this is, again, not someone who's, like, often out there, often criticizing fellow senators. She said, quote, "I agree with Chief Justice Roberts. These statements by Senator Schumer are outrageous." Mark Meadows, Congressman Meadows. "Not only should Chuck Schumer apologize for his threatening comments against two conservative SCOTUS justices, but every Democrat should be asked whether they agree with him. You know it would be demanded of Republicans." You think about that. And of course, President Trump weighed in as well, saying there can be few things worse in a civilized, law-abiding nation, the United States Senator, openly and for all to see and hear, threatening the Supreme Court or its justices. This is what Chuck Schumer just did. He must pay a severe price for it. He has refused to apologize, folks. And by the way, people are trying to say this is the same as President Trump trying to say that, you know, Ginsburg and Sotomayor should recuse themselves. That is not a violent threat. It's a pretty normal thing in law. In fact, there's a Wall Street Journal op-ed today about why Justice Ginsburg should recuse herself in the upcoming case involving President Trump, because she said if he got elected, she would move to New Zealand. Now, that's one thing if it comes from Alec Baldwin or a celebrity. It's quite another if it comes from a justice who is going to hear your case. I mean, if you were in a trial court and you were representing the defendant and the judge said something like anything like that, you could file the recusal. It would go through. Now, at the Supreme Court, they get to recuse themselves to make those decisions. So it's a little different process. But Harry, your thoughts on this? Because even Jeffrey Toobin wouldn't buy the far left's And also the Schumer staff's response, this talking points that, oh, this is really just about Republicans and politics and nothing to do with threatening justices.
I think your analysis is spot on, and I would certainly add to that by pointing out the remarks of Lawrence Tribe,
yep,
a left-wing law professor at Harvard who found Senator Schumer's statements inexcusable, and said that Chief Justice Roberts was right to call him on his comments. And so Chuck Schumer needed to apologize directly. Instead, he tried to suggest a moral equivalence between his comments and the comments of President Trump with respect to the left-wing justices of the United States Supreme Court. There is, in fact, no moral equivalence whatsoever. Schumer's statements were a direct and unmistakable threat, whereas the president's statements were certainly consistent with the law. There is no reason why a defendant or, for instance, a plaintiff could not ask a judge to recuse herself. And so Chuck Schumer, of course, likes to talk about how Democrats support tolerance and that they are against bullying, they are against threats. But that is exactly the behavior that many Democrats, including Chuck Schumer, specialize in. And so I think the American people should note the difference. They should demand Schumer's censure by the United States Senate.
Folks, I want to get back to phone calls and we'll get more thoughts from our folks here. 1-800-684-3110. Let's get Greg a copy of the next red wave. He's been holding on from Oregon online too. Greg, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. After hearing the threats that Chuck Schumer has made against a couple sitting chief justices, I'm wondering what your thoughts are on that situation. If I myself, the average working American citizen, had made those kind of comments on that kind of a public stage, I'd probably find myself in jail.
Maybe. Maybe. You would certainly find yourself likely with some phone calls from the Supreme Court police, especially if you were on national television making that, or you issued that in writing and mailed it off to the court. Listen, they probably get threats like that all the time, and they deal with them. But I guarantee you a lot of those involve contact by Supreme Court police. And again, just like with the president, Secret Service, or if you did this to a member of Congress, the Capitol Hill police. Like, if you sent something like this to Chuck Schumer, I think you would get, again, the Capitol Hill police. Because, Wes, I mean, you had Majority Leader McConnell say very clearly, the fact that he was trying to turn this around and saying he was actually threatening fellow senators, and that's much better. And even that's a fiction.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he said, first of all, he said it was not a threat. He said, I would never do that. Well, he never apologized this morning either. And you're right, he tripled down. First, his statement from his office says, well, it wasn't directed against the justices. It was against Republican senators. Is it any better to threaten your colleagues in the Senate with potential physical violence? And then their third statement came out, and again, insulted the court by saying that part of the motivation for this is that Chief Justice Roberts doesn't simply call balls and strikes, implying that somehow he's biased. You know, he should have simply apologized. That seems to be beyond him. But McConnell is right. This was nothing but a threat. And there is no doubt as to whom it was directed. And it's outlandish behavior and speech. But we're in that era of political hyperbole and anger. And that you can't just disagree with someone, you must threaten and demonize them. And Schumer's behavior, unfortunately, is an illustration of that.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of how I feel, too. I mean, Than, let's walk people through here, and then let me take this final call of the day, and I'll get your reaction. Bill in Wyoming, on line 3. Bill, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Good.
It seems to me, I've got kind of a question, my own conclusion. It seems to me that Schumer has stopped listening to the Obamas, because wasn't it Michelle who said whatever level the conservatives are, that they should go higher? It seems to me that my conclusion is that maybe that's a good reason for us to go out and vote in November.
Yeah, I mean, listen, this go low, go high, this is to me, Than, and why the rebuke is coming. It's kind of like when Joe Biden's campaign said, we don't want Comey's endorsement. Well, then why did you try to impeach the president or have the Mueller investigation over the firing of Jim Comey? If you also agree how corrupt he is, like a bad cop, as the president likes to refer to it. In a sense, Joe Biden, who's going to be the leading Democrat, likely, it looks like, just cleared the president on his own makes it a lot tougher for those congressional Democrats to use Comey selectively when they want. But it's the same kind of thing here with this kind of rhetoric. You can't condemn the president for his tough rhetoric, and he's a tough guy. He punches back. But he doesn't threaten people like this in these institutions with physical violence. And if you start doing that, Than, you're playing, first of all, you've walked right into the president's trap, which Chuck Schumer did, with that outrage and eyes, you know, bursting out of his head. But it's dangerous for our country. It's dangerous in an election that's already going to be partisan and very divisive.
Jordan, I would tell you politics is a very tough place, but the careful balance between separation of powers is very sacred. And for one member of a co-equal branch to go to the steps of the other co-equal branch and threaten them, that's what this was, Jordan. Threaten them. In my view, the only proper response from the other branch is to censure that member. I think that's what should happen.
All right, folks. Again, we'll have a lot to say about this and politics tomorrow on the broadcast. Remember our matching challenge at aclj.org. Double the impact. We're a little bit behind this month. Double the impact your donation today. Donate online at aclj.org and support our work. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.